Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. My name is Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of Live with Passion, and I'm so glad that you tuned into the program today. I want to talk to you today about being positive and not murmuring. And I want to share with you from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. And God said to Moses, "I have heard the murmurings of the people, and say to them, at twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And in the evening quails came, and they covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay about the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw this, they said to one another, 'What is this?' For they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord your God has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I heard the story about this priest who is riding his bike down the street. And as he's riding down the street, all of a sudden he came up to one of his altar boys who was working, mowing the lawn. And he stopped his bike. He says, "Hey, Johnny," he says, "what are you doing?" And Johnny says, "Well, I'm mowing the lawn so that I can earn enough money to get a bike just like yours." And the pastor thought for a minute and he said, "You know, I need a lawnmower and you need a bike. Why don't we just switch?" And Johnny said, "Deal." Well, next thing you know, the pastor's down there and he's got the lawnmower and he's pulling on the cord and he's trying to start it. And he goes, "Johnny, how do you start this thing?" And Johnny looked at him and says, "You got to swear at it." The pastor said, "Johnny, I don't swear. I'm a priest. I don't even remember how to swear." And Johnny said, "Well, keep pulling on that cord. It'll come back to you." You know, it's interesting. I play on golf courses all around the country. People invite me to go golfing. And even though it's a beautiful day and we're on the most opulent golf courses, when you hit a bad shot, you know, you start swearing and throwing clubs and being angry or murmuring and complaining, "I should be doing better." People call themselves fathead and, you know, "I'm so stupid" and things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if we could only just appreciate the day. Here we are on a golf course. You know, so many people are in hospitals and so many people are in nursing homes. And we're out here healthy and having a good time. You know, how dare we swear and murmur and complain? And sometimes I'll be watching on TV, you know, the pro golfers, they'll be playing. They'll be at Kapalua on Hawaii, one of the most opulent golf courses in the world, gorgeous scenery. And they'll hit a shot that they're not satisfied with and they're, you know, murmuring, complaining, swearing, hitting the club really hard. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're taking all the beauty for granted. They're taking all the good things that they have in life for granted. And I understand that they're trying to make their living by doing that, but the bottom line is sometimes we don't allow ourselves to appreciate the good things that we have in our life. It's so easy to be negative. I remember one time years ago, I grew up in Springfield, Massachusetts, and the Springfield newspaper had a column. It was called "Write a Gripe," and it was a contest. And everybody, day by day, would send in their gripe, their complaint. And if it was the number one complaint of the day, it got published. Well, lo and behold, I sent mine in, and it got published. And the gripe that I sent in is, get this, I said, "I hate dentists with bad breath." You ever sit there in a chair, and you've got a dentist over you, and they have bad breath, and you can't move, and it's like, ah! Well, I sent that in and I won that day and I got the money and they put my name in there. They showed a dentist, you know, over a young man. You could see the breath going. And it was great that I won. I think I won $5 or whatever it was. But I thought to myself, oh no, I got to go to my dentist next week. That's going to be a bad time. I hope he's not reading this. And, you know, we can have gripes about all kinds of things. You know, maybe we don't send it into the newspaper, but we can murmur under our breath, kind of like the Hebrews were in the desert. And we can murmur about our country and the president and the price of gas and our health and the people that we live with and, you know, all kinds of different situations that we have. And when we gripe and murmur and complain, and sometimes we just kind of growl under our breath, and we may not even say it out loud, but it's easy to do. And there's all kinds of things if we want to complain about, but I have to tell you, you can focus on the negative if you want, or you can focus on the positive. You have to understand that the scriptures that I just read to you, there were the Hebrews. They had been ransomed out of Egypt. God had split the Red Sea, brought them through dry shod in the most magnificent, marvelous miracle in the Bible so far. Splits the Red Sea in two. I don't know if you've ever seen this on Cecil B. DeMille, the Ten Commandments. Moses, you know, raises his staff. It was Charlton Heston. And, you know, they had that dramatic scene and they're all going through, and then he puts his staff down, the sea goes down, and all the Egyptian army is drowned. You know, they went from death to life, the literal passing through the Red Sea and God bringing them to new life. Well, here they are about a month later now. They're in the desert. They're going through the desert. And, you know, that memory is still fresh in their mind, what God, that great work that God had done in them. And now here they are murmuring and complaining. You know, oh, we don't have enough food. Or, oh, we don't have enough water. Or God brought us out into the desert to destroy us. And so, okay, now we have the scene, and God says, all right, I've heard your murmurings. I've heard your grumblings. I'm going to feed you. Quail at night, manna in the morning. And what they did is they saw the manna, and they said, what is this? You know, kind of in disdain. What is this? Not thank you, God, for feeding us in the desert, but rather, what is this? I remember the story of Archie Bunker. If you remember Norman Lear's Archie Bunker years ago, All in the Family. There was Archie Bunker, if you remember, and his wife, Edith, his daughter, Gloria, son-in-law, Michael. You know, it was a great number one series for years and years and years. And one time, they were all sitting around the dinner table. And there's Archie and Edith and Gloria. And unbeknownst to Archie, they were serving him tongue, animal tongue. And they knew that Archie wasn't going to want that tongue. But they didn't want to tell him. They just tried to distract him, and they were doing other things. And finally, Archie looks down at his plate, and he goes, what is this? Kind of like the Hebrews in the desert. What is this? And finally, Gloria says, Daddy, it's tongue. Eat it. You're going to like it. And I'll never forget what Archie said. He goes, tongue? He said, I ain't eating nothing that comes out of no animal's mouth. And he goes, Edith, go get me an egg. Well, it's interesting. You know, that's kind of the attitude that the Hebrews had in the desert. They're looking at what God had supplied, and they said, what is this? Actually, you know what? I remember I studied in Egypt, and I studied in Israel, and the scripture scholar that we were with said that that manna, that's what the word manna means, what is this, or what is it? He actually said that it was insect dung that somehow was edible, and that's what the Hebrews were given to eat. And I think about my own life when I think about this phenomenon of murmuring or complaining or what is this, and I think about how God provides for me, the meals, and the dinners, and the people, and how God has provided the travel and the clothes and all the different things down throughout the ages. Think about your own life, however old you are, the homes and the people and the money and the provisions that God has given for you. And oftentimes, you know, we kind of just take it for granted and we say, you know, what is this? And we always want something more. And that's good to want something more, but it's not good to complain. I remember the story of St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis, my favorite saint, founder of the Franciscans. Well, just a little bit about his life. I remember when I went over to Assisi, I spent a week in Assisi, and I remember the story of St. Francis. St. Francis did not live to be very old. He died when he was 44 years old. He was about 5 feet tall, just really short, had big ears. He was blind when he died. He was not a priest, he was a deacon, and he didn't feel worthy to be a priest. And get this, they had a fresco of what he looked like in Assisi. They believe that that's exactly what he looked like at that time in his life. St. Francis was not a very good-looking man. In fact, you know, I don't know any other way to say it. He was probably pretty ugly. So here he is, short, big ears, ugly, suffered a lot in his life. But he was a very joyful man, very thankful. He had that charisma about him that attracted people. And as you know, he raised up a community called the Franciscans, dedicated to God, of course, but also dedicated to joy and to simplicity of life and to giving thanks for all the good things that were theirs. One time he was out with a brother of his, and the story goes that they went to a house, knocked on the door, and they were going to beg for bread, beg for something to eat. And St. Francis knew he wasn't very good looking, so he told his brother, his religious brother, he said, why don't you go to the door and ask him for something? And so the brother went, knocked on the door, asked for something, comes back with two little stale, crusty pieces of bread, and he said, this is all they gave us. In other words, he was saying, what is this? Francis took those loaves, much like Jesus, when he gave thanks for the loaves and the fishes. All they had was two loaves and a few fishes. And remember, Jesus gave thanks. He didn't say, oh, this is all we have. What is this? He gave thanks, and God multiplied it. See, when you give thanks, God will multiply blessings. And Francis took those two little pieces of bread, and he said, let us give thanks to God for the wonderful feast he has prepared for us. Oh, what an attitude. Instead of focusing on the two crusty little loaves of bread and, oh, this is terrible, and what is this, murmuring, complaining like they did in the desert, Francis gave thanks. And notice what happened when Francis gave thanks. His community prospered. His community was blessed. His community grew. And his community is now spread all throughout the world. So I really want you to have that attitude of giving God thanks, not focusing on the negative things, but seeing the blessings that God is giving you, seeing the provisions that God is giving you. And that's really important to do. I remember it was 3 months ago, I was working out at the health club. I work out really vigorously on the elliptical. I do all kinds of sit-ups and weights and everything. Try to stay in shape because I do a lot of traveling, writing, producing for TV. Well, I had my plans. I remember it was a Monday I was going to work out. Tuesday and Wednesday I was going to play golf. Thursday I was going to work out. Friday I was going to fly to Fresno, California, to preach a mission. So I finished my workout, took a shower, bent over to pick up my gym bag. All of a sudden, my back, I had never had this happen before. I felt this twinge in my back. Well, make a long story short, I could barely get out of bed the next morning. I had to crawl out of bed. My back, the spasms, the muscles hurt so bad. Just to go to the bathroom, it took me 10 minutes to get to the bathroom, and I had to like hold on to the walls. Well, it developed in the weeks after that. I was able to go to Fresno and preach. But in the weeks after that, it developed into something called sciatica. Your sciatic nerve goes right down your leg all the way to your foot. I had never had sciatica before. And by the way, they ought to call it painatica, not sciatica, because it really hurt. And I ended up going to an orthopedic surgeon. It hurt so bad. A back doctor. I thought I was going to have surgery on my back. And he looked at the MRI, the results. I have some discs that are degenerating, bulging, touching a nerve. And he told me, my philosophy is the operation should be done last. Why don't you try physical therapy for the next 6 weeks and see how you do? So I've been working out really hard and doing my physical therapy, and I'm much better, much, much, much better. But I have to tell you, I was just taking for granted working out. I was taking for granted being able to play golf. I remember when I was hurting so bad, I was watching people walk and I go, I wish I could walk. I couldn't even walk. It hurt so bad. And what it really taught me is oftentimes we become jaded with life and we take things for granted. Things like being able to walk, for example. Do you know how many people there aren't aren't able to walk. People come to my missions in wheelchairs and they sit in the front. They're not able to walk, but they come anyway. They do the best they can. And maybe some of you that are watching at home aren't able to walk, and you know what I'm saying. And when something like that happens to you, you begin to appreciate the finer things, that the blessings that we have, everything, being able to see, being able to hear, being able to walk. And then I remember just really quickly, after a couple months and being able to walk and getting back to health again, it's interesting. I began to forget how much I suffered. I began to forget the pain, and I began to take for granted just being able to walk again, and that's how easy it is. See, I think God wants a thankful people that focus on the positive, that counts their blessings, that doesn't murmur and complain at the provision that God's given you, but rather gives thanks for the good things that you have. I think about my sister. I have two older sisters. My middle sister was just diagnosed 2 months ago with a syndrome. It's called Guillain-Barr syndrome. Happens to 1 in 100,000 people. It's an autoimmune disease where your body actually fights against your own body. And she went from being a triathlete to now being in a wheelchair in the span of 5 days. She was biking, exercising, doing all these different things. Now she's so tired she can barely do anything. She has to have blood transfusions and all kinds of other things. We're hoping she's going to get better. In time, people that have that syndrome usually do get better, but the bottom line is right now she is suffering bad. And what I'm simply trying to say is, folks, don't take anything for granted. Don't be jaded. Appreciate the life you have. Count your blessings. Realize how good things are. Know that God is at work in your life. Try to understand that the house that you live in, the car that you have, the money that you're making, the job that you have. You know, some of you may not have the best boss. Some of you may not have the best job. But I can guarantee you there's millions of people that would love to have your problem because they don't have a job and they don't have a boss and they don't have income. There's all kinds of unemployed people, not only in our country, but around the world. So I'm just simply trying to help you to count your blessings and to be like Jesus. When he got those loaves and fishes, he didn't say, "Is this all you can give me out of 5,000 people?" No, rather he said, "Thank you, God, for the blessings you've given." And God multiplied it. See, when you give thanks, when you worship, that's what Mass means, by the way, Eucharist. We gather to give thanks and to count our blessings and to be positive. You can focus on the negative or the positive. It's up to you. Remember a long time ago, you know, when I wear a lavalier microphone, it has a little battery in it. It's a power pack. And I remember one time I was putting the battery in and I noticed it had a plus sign and a negative sign on it. And if you don't put it exactly right, if the polarity isn't hitting the right pieces of metal in the power pack, it won't work. And I was putting the battery in and God spoke to me and said, "Cedric, you're just like this battery. You have a negative side and you have a positive side. And whichever side you decide to focus on, that's the way you're going to be." And that's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Focus on your positive side. Don't let the murmuring and the complaining and the griping and the negativity. Remember that movie that was out years ago, Grumpy Old Men. Don't become a grumpy old man. Don't become a grumpy old woman. Rather, as you give thanks now, you will become a positive old man and a positive old woman, counting your blessings. And that will bring you joy. It will bring you all kinds of goodness. You know, I live here in a religious community. I'm filming this at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston. This is our religious chapel. And we gather here for prayer. We gather here for Mass. And we praise and we pray all the time, every day, right here in this chapel. There's 8 of us that live here. I'm one of 8 religious. There's 7 priests and 1 brother. And I'll tell you, every one of these men have their negative points, and every one of these men have their positive points. And if I focus on people that are opinionated or controlling, you know, wanting things their own way, or, you know, the negative side of each of them, it'll drive me crazy. What I try to do is focus on the positive. Every one of these men have good points. And if you focus on the positive, if you focus on their good points, it's that much easier to get along and to love them. But if you focus on the negative points, all you want to do is something what I call stonewall them. You just want to avoid them, stay away from them, passive-aggressive. Same thing in your marriages, in your families. If you focus on the good points, not the negative points, if you focus on the good points, and focus is so, you ever see Tiger Woods when he's about to hit a putt? He looks, he focuses, he tries to get all the distractions out of his life. He focuses on that line in order to make that putt. Same thing in our life. Focus on the positive. Give thanks. Realize the blessings. Look at the people in your life. Don't see all their foibles, because you got them too. Rather, try to focus on the positive things. And instead of saying, what is this? You know, this is what God has given me. Thank you, God, for this wonderful feast. Give praise. You know, you can be negative if you want. You can be positive if you want. The choice is up to you. So there's all kinds of different examples about this. Health and people, money, the provisions that you make. It's all up to you. We all have it. Please focus on the blessings of your life. I don't know if you ever heard this story. I've shared it before, but I really, really like it. It's about this little girl. She's in second grade, and they're talking about the seven wonders of the world in their class. So they're going around, and the whole class is working on it. And finally, they came up with the seven wonders of the world together as a group. And this is what they came up with. Egypt's Great Pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, China's Great Wall. Once they finished, they're all happy, and they said, those are the seven wonders of the world. But the teacher noticed that one little girl, the second grader, was still working on the project, and she said, don't you agree with us? Did you come up with a different list? And the little girl says, yes, well, teacher, I did. I came up with a completely different list than what you have. She says, well, would you share it with the class? And the little girl says, okay. And she said, I think that the seven wonders of the world are to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to laugh, to love, to believe. And it's so true. I remember one time I went into an elevator and I looked as I went to hit the button to go to the fifth floor. Right underneath the button, there were these little bumps. And those bumps are braille. And they're braille for people that can't see. And I remember just going up that elevator thinking, thank you, God, that I can see. Thank you, God, that I can hear. Thank you for the times that make me laugh. Thank you for the people that love me. Thank you that I can walk. So I'm inviting you folks not to be like the Hebrews in the desert. It's interesting. The Hebrews in the desert, they had seen the works of God, and we've seen the works of God. God has worked in your life. He has created you. He's redeemed you. He's brought you to this moment. Many of you have had born-again experiences, so don't forget the works of the Lord. They had seen the works of God at the Red Sea. God had split the Red Sea in two. And here they are a month later, complaining, murmuring, griping about what they had. And what I want to tell you is, you know, it only took 40 days to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. About 1 million people, maybe 2 million people on that journey. It would have only taken less than 40 days to do it. But they stayed in that desert for 40 years. And the reason why they wandered and kept going around and kept staying stuck is because I believe what the scriptures are telling us is because they complained, because they murmured, because they just focused on the negative part of life. And that's so easy to do. And it's the same way. If you want to be promoted, like St. Francis and Jesus giving thanks, if you want to be promoted and be raised, you must praise and give thanks and focus on the good things. And if you choose to be negative and focus on all that's wrong and keep griping and murmuring and complaining, you're never going to go anywhere. You're just going to stay stuck. So I want to invite you to be positive, focus on your blessings, give thanks, and watch how God will work in your life. Now remember, don't just live like some people do. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, FRCEDRIC.org. That's FatherCedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.